We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, and welcome back to a new series of the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the San Francisco Chronicle, read by Brian Perkins.
A California activist who embarked on a trans-Pacific sailing adventure dedicated to saving the whales called off the attempt on Friday after his boat ran into one.
Thanks to Rachel Sharrett for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Nick Clark. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, your tricky teaser, who's going to win the World Cup?
Well, this must be about the football. I mean, I don't need to tell you the result. I mean, for heaven's sake, the whole nation was watching it earlier this morning or... yesterday, if you're listening to the repeat. But it was a very exciting game, I think you could say.
Thank God for Michael Owen's groin, that's what I say.
Yes, and... You know, I think they deserved to win on the whole. I wasn't actually entirely surprised. I thought they were the better team on the day. But, you know, they've shown a lot of talent through the tournament. But I do think, having won this game, they will go on probably to the final and to win the trophy.
What about the refereeing? The refereeing was
an absolute shocker. As we all know now, it was 2-1, the final score. But I think if the Croatian linesman hadn't been suffering from impetigo at the time, it would probably be even more. Well, I don't know. What am I meant to say to this ridiculous question?
You've done very well.
Nobody's going to be...
The thing, whether what we don't know, doing it as we are, is whether there's going to be anybody listening to this at all, whether the entire nation will have cut its throat or will be out dancing in the street.
I just want the whole ghastly business to be over. The whole country's decked out like a loyalist estate at the moment.
Now, is the next question about next year's Grand National? Because I've got a very hot tip for that.
But I can't give you any points there because you didn't answer the question. I'll give you 1 point each and a penalty shootout after the show. Nick, who's been accused of lying to the state about lying in state?
Well, it rather follows on from the football. Mr. Blair wants to be everywhere. He wants to be everywhere where there's a camera. It is said, obviously I have no particular view on this, as you can imagine. We've rung Rod several times. And he hasn't returned any of our calls. And we run all his friends, and his friends are more loquacious than he is, but he hasn't finally given us an answer. But I don't know whether or not he made a personal call to Black Rod and said, can I come down here in a hula dress and do a little spin, because I think it's looking rather somber down there, and I'd quite like to brighten up the atmosphere a bit. But
yeah, I think the great guitarist wanted to be part of a New Orleans funeral. He wanted to be dancing in front of the old deer, playing Oh, Didn't He Ramble, which is something of a theme song of his.
She's not dead anyway. We have no proof of this. She's being cloned in South America at this very moment. That's why they couldn't let him be photographed with her in the coffin as he wanted.
You mean...
Because there's a mannequin in there.
It's the girls from Brazil. 11 of her will be turning up even as we speak.
Yeah.
It's frightening. Running down the wing.
But it's funny, yes. Jeremy, it's funny you should say that, because I took part in some of the coverage of the procession of the state coach down to Westminster Hall, and I was told I'd done so well that the next time the Queen Mother died, I'd be a cert.
Well, the royals were on the skids before. It all makes sense, doesn't it?
Prime Minister denied that he sought a more prominent role in such an important national ceremony. But at the time of the recording, it now emerges, he was still trying to persuade Sven to play him alongside Michael Owen. Jeremy, why are continental travel plans up in the air?
Oh, there's lots of strikes, which is good. The sad thing is that people always look more chipper about the fact that they're going to be late for their holiday than if they're late for work. They look all gutted and miserable if they're going to not make it into work. But if this terrible pluckiness takes over people when their holiday's been ruined, and it's that awful English determination to be chipper. My main fear when a plane hits turbulence is that someone will start a community singing and that I'm going to die with the sound of 10 green bottles ringing in my ear. But no, it's good. There's all these strikes because the EU wants to bring in what's called an open skies policy, where the whole of everything to do with airports and air traffic control will be privatised. And people will be able to fly where they like, when they like, without restriction, but instead of air traffic control, all planes will be fitted with gun turrets. So you can avoid collisions by shooting down other planes in your path. And the French air traffic control say it's dangerous. Mais non, they say.
And well, so won't do it. I mean, I thought it was a question about all these budget airlines. Things like Easy Jump, where you have to get out at Hounslow. They throw you out at Hounslow, you walk to Heathrow through customs, and the plane is already on the way back to Greece. It isn't about that, it's about the other thing. It's terrible. I don't know why anybody flies anyway.
On the strikes, did
I
you
drove
see the.
Here.
There was a brilliant picture caption this week which showed someone at the airport, and the caption read, Mr. I. Duncan Smith, delayed passenger. And there he was. And did you know his name? Do you know his real name, dear?
George.
Yeah. George Smith. He was christened George Ian Duncan Smith. I only discovered this the other day. I think this is absolutely wonderful. He's actually George Smith.
Well, Hitler's real name was Schicklgruber, but it didn't make any difference in the end.
The strikes caused chaos across European skies, while British air traffic controllers at NATS claimed they'd noticed no difference. Airline bosses believe the chaos was caused by a mysterious fat controller, the phrase is. John Prescott claimed it had nothing to do with him, as he was busy with his new job redecorating the Blair spare room. Alan, listen to this.
Meeting you with a view to a kill. Face to face in secret places, feel the chill.
Who's been given a license to terminate with extreme prejudice?
Is this an MI5, a question?
Not quite, no. If you
a license to terminate? Is it the CIA who've been told to go in and get Saddam Hussein?
Yes.
The last time they did, they had exploding cigars for Castro. I remember that was wonderful. Let me go set fire to his beard. I don't know what you do with Saddam Hussein. You know, my belief is that Saddam Hussein, if you look at them both, is actually Lord Lucan. I don't think his bones are rotting in the South Coast at all. I think he got on a boat and he's now striking back at the British establishment. They are exactly the same. They have the same moustache. They're exactly the same age to the week. And I think none of our nannies is safe. I think he's going to have a missile which targets Norland nannies.
There was a court case this week in which somebody was taken to court for looking up the skirt of a woman saying, as he did so, I'm looking for Lord Lucan.
Good job he didn't say I'm looking for Bush.
I've always yearned to be your straight
into
man.
These things. What? I'm being trapped here. Yes, yeah, so Bush is going to go in and kill Saddam Hussein.
You're not supposed to announce covert operations, are you, really?
I just slipped out. I couldn't help it.
No, but, I mean, Bush, you probably should, you know, if you're doing something covert, you're supposed to sort of say strictly between us and things like that, rather than press release it.
I think Bush actually knows the meaning of the word covert.
No.
He doesn't know the meaning of the word illiteracy.
The other strange aspect of this is that they're allowed to go and kill Saddam Hussein, but only in self-defence. So 250,000 troops are going to be sent there on the express instructions that they can kill him, but only if he's trying to kill them first.
Meanwhile, Saddam has launched a top-secret plan to assassinate President Bush. He's sending him another bag of pretzels. And we start round two with a letter to a charity, Projects Magazine.
Our carers and members will never forget what you all did for us. Thank you once again. The Alzheimer's Society, Portsmouth.
Thanks to Russell Goff and Tedbury for sending that. Francis, why is it R.I.P., R.I.P.A.?
Oh, I know about it. See, emails being nicked by David Blunkett and fisheries inspectors and anyone who wants them, really. And, Blunkett did an extraordinary thing. He went on, was it your programme, Nick? And said that he was a blundering idiot and it was all a hideous mistake and it was all going to be stopped. He didn't want people to think the government was a big brother. And I'm not sure whether he meant it in the sense of the telly programme or the George Orwell meaning, but I think probably the telly version, actually. House full of half-wits talking nonsense. Very, very much like our own dear House of Commons. And Blunkett said this week that he thought the press was on the edge of insanity.
People like you, actually, Francis. The Guardian are very high on his list. You look quite well this evening, but OK. Things can change.
It's only the press. He doesn't mind you lot,
no.
Does he?
We're fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that they've stopped this massive extension of email surveillance, but I'm less worried about the power to look at my emails being extended to the Food Standards Agency than the fact that CIA and Metropolitan Police can already do it, really. Because, I mean, what would the Food Standards Agency... I mean, I might let slip in that I'd reheated some leftovers more than once. But what are they going to do about it?
Mr. Blunkett stunned the nation by apologising for his mistake and stunned fellow cabinet ministers by not waiting for the death of another elderly royal for the day in which to make his apology. 2 points to Francis. Nick, who's taking a relaxed approach to religion?
Well, it is rather odd. Apparently there is a group of priests who think it would be quite a good wheeze if instead of wearing cassocks and orbs or whatever else you wear when you're a priest, and you have to wear these things in order to deliver communion, you could wear whatever you wanted. And apparently the explanation for this is that the uniform separates the clergy from the people, and I must say, I rather thought that was the point. I mean, they're supposed to be different from you and me, Simon, so I thought, well, maybe that was a good reason for wearing a uniform, but no, it's going to be anything you fancy, something is going to be devised.
And they're going to elect bishops, aren't they? I suppose if they were going to be elected, you could put them all in the Big Brother house. Which one of you bastards has eaten all the communion wafers? And the Church of England has stolen the Church in Wales's Archbishop. How does that work? Because he was the Archbishop of Wales, and then I suppose like Sven Goran Eriksson, isn't it? But interestingly, the Anglican Church, in England it's called the Church of England, and in Scotland it's called the Church of Scotland, but in Wales it's called the Church in Wales, which suggests it's a slightly temporary arrangement. We're just hanging in there until the Druids seize power again.
The proposed new Archbishop does look like a biker, doesn't he? I mean, he's got this amazing beard and flowing hair. He looks as though he'd be more at home, I don't know.
Well, we're just jealous.
On the beach. Yes, OK.
he looks unnervingly like Brian Perkins, actually.
Some synod members argue that much of what is worn in church dates from hundreds of years ago. Always a problem when you can only afford to buy clothes from your own church jumbo sale. 2 points to someone or other there. Jeremy, listen to this. Jeremy, why are we losing patience with losing patients?
Are patients dying? Too many patients dying in hospital?
They aren't dying. Is it just a million cock-ups a year?
Yeah, but...
It's worth getting...
Better than going to...
A million cock-ups a year. It's quite astonishing.
Yeah, better than going to a private hospital. As if you went to a private hospital and said you've had a lump in your breast, they'd say, oh, my dear, we can give you bigger lumps than that.
They remove your wallet if you've got a lump. Yeah. Oh, I know what that is. Lift your arm.
Didn't Alistair Campbell have a thing about Britney Spears?
He did. Him and Simon Hoggart.
No, he never really liked me, I have to say.
But he was actually caught at a Britney Spears concert a couple of years ago, this thing entirely attended by sort of 14-year-old girls, and Alistair Campbell.
He's old enough to be her care worker.
In a separate finding, one in three junior doctors failed to grasp basic medical knowledge, and suspicions were aroused when one doctor on his round was heard reciting the leg bones connected to the thigh. Alan, which European politician will be celebrating his enormous swing to the right with a wham, bam, merci, madame?
Oh, it's Cyril Shagger Chirac, isn't it? It reminds me of the Al-Fayed Hamilton case, where you really wanted both people to lose terribly. I mean, they threw out Le Pen and maintained Chirac in office with what seems to be a totally monopolistic power. There is no government, there is no prime minister, there is just Chirac. And this thing which is called the medium right. It's quite ghastly, this fearful, corrupt, slimy, oleaginous bastard who's chums with Tony Blair, who is nothing like that, of course. God knows what they talk about in the still watches of the night. But he now has hegemony over France totally for the next 4 years, is it? Or eight? Five years. It's terrible.
President Jacques Chirac's right-wing alliance won a landslide victory in France's parliamentary elections after he personally made love to every female voter.
You see, the French philosophy teachers have gone on strike, as well as the air traffic controllers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, they just think they're on strike.
It's This tactic is not unique to French politics over here. It's known as shafting the electorate. It's also the biggest rebuke to socialists since Tony Blair became leader of the Labour Party, and the biggest swing to the right since Margaret Thatcher opted for boxers over Y fronts. We start round three with articles for sale in the Brighton Free Press.
Elizabeth, Queen Mother, unwanted gift, £12.
Thanks to Kenny Campbell of Thamesmead for that. Francis, what's been boldly transported where nothing has been transported before?
Oh, it's some sort of Australian scientific experiment. They've teleported a bit of a laser beam across a room in Australia. Quite an exciting event, well, by Australian news standards, anyway. And it doesn't mean that they can teleport humans or anything much else, but there's something in the laser beam that they managed to whisk across the room, and it rematerializes a millionth of a second later. And it has great potential for I don't know what, but is it Star Trek where they do teleporting?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Beam me up, Scotty.
But anyway, the Australians have nothing better to do than teleport little bits of laser beam.
It was Dr. Ping, wasn't he? Dr. Ping was the man concerned. And they said it would work with humans. There's only one drawback, is that the process of teleporting under the system they've set up in their Australian lab would mean the person dying in the process of being transported. But it's almost certain that the bits could be reassembled in some sort of vaguely human fashion.
That's true what Nick says. It destroys the original and then replaces it with an exact copy. So it's theoretically possible, but you would just be copied, literally copied. And you think, well, that's all right, one first-generation copy. But when you've been teleported three or four times, you'd start to look all scratchy like the Dirty Bits invented videos, wouldn't you?
Well, all right, first copies. People want to teleport their bums at office parties.
It'll become part of an integrated transport policy in this country. They'll move the whole of the M25 to Rotherham. And it'll still be a jam, but they won't be able to do it with the concrete.
Eventually, theoretically, they will be able to do this with a person. If they can do a billion, billion, billion atoms at a time, they can now do one. If there will be this bloke sitting there and they've set up all the equipment and they will be able to move him from one side of the lab to the other, and he'll just think, well, I could have walked, really.
The device is used to transport light from one place to another and is known technically as a torch. Jeremy, who got a dressing down for not dressing up?
Does Alan know?
Yeah.
Alan knows. He's writing something down.
I'll put down Ascot. It's not a word that often trips off your lips, I think.
Ascot, that's one of those little kettles you put on the wall above the sink, isn't it? Ascot race course.
Yes, I mean, the BBC turned up with a couple of cameramen, and the Queen took exception to the fact they were wearing T-shirts and not morning coats. I think listeners should understand that I'm actually wearing full fig tonight, white tie and tails. My friend Jeremy, the layabout, is wearing only a tuxedo. And the Queen actually made it known that she was unpleased by this. And the BBC, unlikely to fawn before royalty and the possibility of honour for Greg Dyke, sent them on the bus home, and they came back in full Moss Bros and hats. And, I mean, presumably Her Majesty is now happy. She can do anything. That's what the Jubilee has done. She can do anything. It's chopped off on Ascot Heath and taken down in the back of a landau for the crowd to roar. Don't throw your hats in the air. Throw your heads in the air. You're BBC. But I think it's quite appalling. It's that the world has gone mad. But anyway, she objected to the cameraman wearing... What?
You see the picture of Rod Stewart in his amazing suit? He was chucked out with his girlfriend.
Well, he had drainpipe trousers, and the myth of Rod Stewart seems to be nailed.
Or Black Rod Stewart, as he's now known.
Did anyone see Jenny Bond's hat?
Yes, great. On the side.
Okay, that has been teleported from somewhere. It is the size... No, I can't even begin to describe it. It's it would have covered all those cameramen on its own. And
probably has.
Does that mean camera crews are going to have to dress appropriately for whatever they're filming? You won't be able to allow to film the World Cup unless you've got the flag of St George tattooed across a 50-inch waist.
Camera crew was forced to wear full morning dress in the paddock at Ascot after the Queen complained about their scruffy appearance, but she later apologised when it turned out to be Prince Edward making an undercover documentary. Alan, why is listening to the radio like pulling teeth?
Oh, you can get a tooth now that receives Radio 4. I think that's about it.
Yep.
You can get the, they have developed a molar which picks up mobile phone messages, and you hear your lower jaw saying, "I'm on the train." I don't think any of these things make life a lot better. I pass over that story quite quickly, especially it had a cross section in the Telegraph, a cross section of the tooth. And it went, just to read it, you know, who didn't want to. He thought, I'll never eat a walnut again. But they get scientists with sod all else to do have been able to fit a full transmitting station and a mobile home into your tooth.
But it does it to your inner ear. The point is that it picks up the vibrations from these various
I didn't read the story, and I don't want to know anything about it now.
Well, it said that the only possible use of this was for, you know, if Tony Blair was giving a press conference or being interviewed, Campbell could send him messages through the tooth. No one would see an earphone, but no one would hear that Blair was receiving this, because he just gets vibrations in his jaw. They then go to his inner ear and translate it into Alistair Campbell yelling inside his head.
It's very dangerous. Look what happened when Clinton got vibrations in his jaw.
Also, it would be disastrous. I mean, if it's purely just to do with the vibrations of the tooth, can you imagine if you've got an electric toothbrush and you accidentally brush it when it's switched on? You'd then get it all in your ear.
Do read round the subject, don't you?
Art students have developed a radio which fits inside a tooth. For those of you listening on long wave, don't forget to floss. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the Independence account of the Queen's Golden Jubilee dinner at 10 Downing Street.
Lord Callaghan was one of the first to arrive with his daughter, Baroness Jay. Lord Callaghan was resplendent in a black sequin dinner suit and pearl choker.
To Mary Hall of Stonehouse for that. Nick, the king is dead. Long live the king.
I did read this, but I'd rather. Can you just do it again just to make sure I got it?
Also, could you stand up and do it so we can
it's
see
really embarrassing. Pelvis. You're not going to do it again. That's it.
Was that the 1966 comeback or the Vegas gigs that you were doing there, Simon?
Well, we all know, obviously, that Elvis is not dead. And if he looked at all like Saddam Hussein, he'd have got a mention tonight already. But, no, he's made another appearance in the Hit Parade, as I believe it's called.
No, I think they call it the Top 20 Pops these
right?
days. I believe the young people do, yes, the With It crowd.
Thank you for that. And he's done so by virtue of an advertisement on the television for a trainer. And his music is in it, and it's got him to the top of the Hit Parade, and he really needs the money.
A little less conversation, I think, isn't it?
Mm. Hardly any these days. My daughter wants a pair of Nike trainers. I said, you're 11, make some.
Twenty-five years after his last number one, Elvis has stormed to the top of the charts with JXL's remix of A Little Less Conversation. Last time the King topped the charts, the Queen had just celebrated her jubilee, flares were the height of fashion, and the world quaked at the prospect of nuclear war. How different from things today. Sadly, Elvis could not be here to witness his triumph due to the fact that he's got three more aisles to stack at the Albuquerque Walmart. Jeremy, which robot Rottweiler made a bid to remake The Great Escape this week?
They've taught robots to think, which spells trouble on Labour's backbenches. this robot made a bid for freedom and legged it and got as far as the car park. I don't even know if it had legs or if it was one of those little dog-shaped ones like on Doctor Who. But, they were doing this kind of robot wars in a laboratory somewhere, and this one just couldn't hack it. I said, oh, man, I've got to get out of here, man. And just legged it. And then someone nearly ran over
it. Waited till they'd all gone home, didn't it?
Pardon?
Waited till they'd all gone home. It did it in the night, I think. It
did it?
Broke out.
Oh, did it throw a water cooler out the window, like in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
It was heading for the M1. I think it'd always gone to the M1.
Did it know where it was going?
Well, I think it was trying to find a pub that was showing football matches.
It's probably like a kid leaving home. You know, when kids are about six and they leave home, they get to the end of the road and they think, no, I forgot to bring any sandwiches, and they go back again.
It's Gark, the predator robot, which astounded staff at the Magna Science Adventure Centre by making a bid for freedom on Wednesday, escaping its compound and making a dash for the car park. Left unattended for 15 minutes, Gark slipped through a hole in its cage, ducked past security guards, sped across the car park and leapt out towards the exit. And all because the ladybot loves milk tray. Alan, what does sex on TV make you blind to?
Adverts.
Yes.
People are watching Bonkbusters, indeed, on television, and the films are cut so
sort of pre-orgasmically, so tumescently, so that they're really turned on, and then it comes on and they try to sell you Harpic. And and they can't do it. People don't want to buy Harpic. They actually want to go out of the room very briefly and get back in time for the second half of the porno. So it doesn't work. I could have told them that. They did a lot of research to find out that people don't want to buy things when their underwear is stirring.
The only sexy and violent thing that I watch is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. What are we talking about?
In the study, 324 volunteers were shown violent, sexual, explicit or neutral programmes. It was ITV Digital's biggest ever audience. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, this is from the Daily Mirror. A man who crawled into a 9-inch rubbish chute to retrieve a sweater thrown away by his wife had to be rescued in Sweden.
Nick.
Mine's been sent to us by Peter Byford, to whom many thanks. I would like to express, this is on the Middlesex Cricket Club website, I would like to express how especially pleasing it has been to see Aaron play against Cambridge. Aaron is an outstanding talent who, when fit, should prove to be one of the highlights of Middlesex's season. I appreciate he still has a few problems with no balls.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by Colin Bryan. It's from the small lads. Portable toilet company has vacancy for drivers with 7.5 ton and multi-drop experience.
Alan.
I was surprised we didn't get a question about the honours list, Simon, and greatest recipient, but the papers have been full of it all week. I particularly like this little bit from the Daily Mail. It says, Marianne Faithfull has been bleating about the trauma caused by a German journalist who asked her about the size of former boyfriend Mick Jagger's manhood. She said, I was absolutely gobsmacked.
Thank you all, and the final totals are 16 points each. The penalty shootout will be next week. Before we leave you, here's a film preview from the Radio Times, sent in by Chuck Elliott of Sheffield.
Zabriskie Point, drama. A radical student meets a restless secretary. An intense relationship develops, but their blissful tranquility is soon shattered with music by Pink Floyd.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news program, Alan Parham, Nick Clark, Jeremy Hardy and Francis Green. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Paul McKenzie and George Coles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.